He always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this? And we're live. Welcome everybody here to the Lakers Lounge Podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin, Lakers insider for Lakers Daily. Joined on this fine Wednesday late morning, I guess, Pacific time, you know,
yeah.
Afternoon my time. What do you define as like late morning, early afternoon? Is early afternoon specifically noon, or does that get into the 11th hour?
I would say early afternoon is like 12 to 1, maybe even like 1 to 2, but yeah.
And then like late morning is 10, I guess.
I think this is 12? The exact window of late morning, yeah.
Okay. All right. That's Sabrina Merchant. She is of The Athletic. She's the person who I go to with those serious life questions about, you know, breakdowns of noons and mornings and evenings and nights and stuff. Mm-hmm. The plan originally, I'm going to be honest, was to record this and then release it later in the afternoon. But we had legitimately like groundbreaking news a couple hours or so before we went live, as Adrian Wojnarowski decides to hang him up. He's going to hang up that old BlackBerry and that old iPhone. He probably had one of each. He's going to go be the GM at St. Bonaventure, his you know, where he is an alumni of. Anybody who followed him knows that that was his honest to God passion. You know, that was it would be the craziest thing during transaction windows to get like, ooh, save the Bonnie's got another big win. Nope. So we're going to be talking Bonnie's, about yeah. that. The reason we were going to be coming on, I was going to have Sabrina on, as I promised earlier in the week, and blackmailed her thus to come onto the show, was to talk about the WNBA playoffs, which kick off on Sunday, and talk about this WNBA season to this point. And then right before we went live, I sent Sabrina a picture of the Lakers jerseys so that we can get her thoughts on that potentially as well. An absolutely loaded show. Sabrina, are you ready for this? I'm sorry to just kind of be like, all right, here's everything.
Well, I resent the implication of blackmail, because that suggests you have something on me and you have nothing on me, Anthony.
That's true. You have so much more on me. That's fair. You could just point to like Slack and it's like, okay, whatever you want, Sabrina, you got it. So this Woj thing is insane. It's absolutely insane. Quick reminder, please do hit that subscribe button. Please do hit that like button. Follow wherever you get your shows, blah, blah, blah. Insane. Like, the more that I think about it, Sabrina, the crazier it gets. Not necessarily from a perspective, from Woj's perspective, because that lifestyle seems legitimately awful. You know, I've dipped my toe into the reporting waters and my toe fell off. It's a terrible place to exist. You can't have a life. You're always on your phone. The fact that Woj is going from that to the just underbelly of NCAA sports to be to deal with NIL stuff and considers that a vacation, a passion project, really says something about like what all he was living through. So I'm not all that surprised from a human being standpoint. But the thing about Woj is, like, executives, agents, players, league, like other league personnel, ESPN personnel, like at every level of the NBA, Woj trafficked in information and was, you know, it was a legitimate currency. Something that I experienced when I was reporting on the JJ Redick thing, where like, the Lakers held off on announcing it when they did, or, you know, when they could have, because they wanted to make sure Woj got the scoop and Shams got the scoop. Like, that kind of thing happens all the time and happened all the time. It's going to continue to happen. But like, the more that I think about like the NBA without Woj, like part of me feels like it might be a good thing. Part of me feels like it's just going to be like a hornet's nest from here on out. Mm-hmm. What was your immediate like thought once you got this final Woj bomb?
Yeah, I mean, I liked what he wrote in his message. Time isn't an endless supply, and I want to spend mine in ways that are more personally meaningful. I haven't really read anything Woj has written in a long time, but that's kind of beautiful.
He is actually a really good writer.
Very good writer. We forget that now that he's gone into, you know, news breaking and draft thesaurus mode that he, you know, got his start 37 years ago, right? As just a good old fashioned reporter, and he's written books, obviously, made people very upset with things that he's written. But yeah, I guess I'm not terribly surprised. Like, just the balance of athletics has changed so much. I mean, we at The Athletic just lost one of our best college basketball writers, Dana O'Neill, who left to take a job as an assistant AD at Villanova. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the way the NCAA is changing, it's just created all of these more interesting openings for people. So the idea that Woj would want to take on a new challenge, especially at his alma mater at St. Bonaventure, like, makes a lot of sense. And as you mentioned, the lifestyle of being a newsbreaker just seems personally miserable all the time. Like, I remember talking to Shumps once, like, about how he just doesn't drive because he doesn't want to miss anything. You know, like, he's got to be on his phone all the time, whether that's in an Uber, because he can't bear to, like, not be present for 15 minutes, which just seems miserable at all the time. And to be doing this for as long as Woj has, where he's basically created this industry, you know, he's personally mentored, I imagine, most of the other people who consider themselves newsbreakers in this space, or at least the prominent ones.
Yeah, anybody ready to take that baton?
Yeah. I do think that there's going to be a ton of people who are trying to fill that baton. Shumps obviously becomes like a de facto leader in the space more so than he already has been. You know, Jake Fisher, it's going to make the media free agency wars exponentially more interesting because, you know, Woj has created this vacuum at ESPN. But I know, I think it's good for him. Obviously, he's super passionate about the Bonnies. I think it's going to reflect, you know, in the job that he does there. And for him to find something that gives him this kind of purpose and joy at this point in his life, like, that's commendable and admirable and something that I think we should all aspire to, frankly.
I think there's a lot there. Like, I was going to mention how, you know, I was going to go in a different direction, but I actually think there's a certain beauty to, I've conquered this thing. There's no further place to climb. Or I guess there were other places to climb. Like, you know, the Denver Nuggets just hired Mike Singer. They gave him some, you know, whatever title, very tech bro-y title or whatever. And
intelligence,
you know, his
and
job
strategy,
is to,
I want to say.
Yeah, like, but his job is to, like, you know, parlay all of the contacts that he has around the league and with other friends in NBA coverage and at, again, various levels of the league to, you know, hand that intel over to the Nuggets. I actually think, you know, we've already seen Lee Jenkins do that. The Thunder have somebody whose name I'm forgetting and I shouldn't
be. Royce Young, right?
Yeah, Royce Young. You know, like, I actually think, like, in the next, like, 5 years, it wouldn't surprise me if every team employed a longtime beat reporter in that type of capacity, and then the Lakers would be like the 30th team to do it 7 years or so down the road. I guess Woj could have been like the nth degree higher there for some organization, but the fact that he was like, no, this is a thing that I actually truly care about.
If you were a single NBA entity, like, how could you possibly hire Woj and not think that he's just back channeling things just subconsciously to every other team in the league? Like, I don't think you could ever have that personal relationship with Woj as an NBA team. That's why I think he could only move to college.
Yeah, I guess that's true. I think more agents than teams. Because I do think he's like a very loyal guy, right? Like, when he went to ESPN, he was retweeting everything that they wanted him to retweet. And he was, you know, propping up everybody that was working under him within NBA ranks, had a good relationship with Schefter as well. So I think he's loyal enough. The agent thing is where it gets a little muddy, where those waters get a little bit muddy. But but the fact that he basically is just like, no, you know what? Like, this is, I've made these few, I think the reported contract, his last reported contract was in the ballpark of like $7 million a year. So he's doing fine financially.
I think he walked away from $20 million. That's obscene.
Yeah. Yeah. But like he's doing so again, like how much do you need? You know?
Sure.
And this is taking place, by the way, at a time where NBA players are trying to hold on to every single potential penny that they can get. And $20 million is going to be like the vet min in 12 years or so. You know, it's so fascinating to me because I think a lot of people have like a certain vision of Woj that has a lot to do with, you know, just like the crazy, and he was this competitive. He was, you know, there was certainly kind of the, for lack of a better term, ugly side to sports news breaking in that currency or whatever that you need to have. But he also was like, I've seen countless stories today on Twitter about the times that Woj would just reach out and say, you know, pass along a kind word about a story that somebody wrote, or if you bumped into him at Summer League, he would be as giving as he could be with his time, given how busy he was there. Like, and you talked earlier about like the, you know, the writing that like he got away from and stuff. And there's just a lot more to him. And I think this is, you know, again, like the human standpoint, totally understand this move. The basketball NBA landscape without him, though, that's where things get really tricky. Like, I'm really kind of rooting for the democratization of information. Like, somebody's going to try to step into that role. Maybe it's Shams, maybe it's Haynes, maybe it's both of them and Wendy and the other collection of talent that they have there. But that's more what I'm getting at. Like, let it be a few people. Let more people have access to this stuff and let more people kind of, you know, tell versions of the stories that actually make sense, because sometimes they didn't. And I'm really kind of curious what that would kind of look like. Any other final Woj thoughts before we move on to the W?
I mean, his reach was just everywhere. Like, anybody who ever had like a moment in the NBA, they connected with Woj, and then that relationship lasted forever. Like, I think about all of these breaking news things that happened with USC women's basketball over the last year, and Woj does not cover college women's basketball, but because Lindsay Gottlieb was the coach there and she had a couple years for the Cleveland Cavaliers, those scoops always went to Woj, and he was always the one, yeah, you know, big transfer extension for Lindsay Gottlieb. So it is interesting just to think about like the reach that he's had, like all of his tentacles all over the sport. I think it's going to be tremendously useful for St. Bonaventure. But I am interested to see like if it's just, you know, an all powerful Shams and Jake Fisher that, you know, fill this vacuum, or,
yeah,
you know, if we do see just like more segmentation of like the news breaking landscape.
Yeah. I think the latter would be the healthiest, personally.
I agree. But monopolies are not good for anyone. Antitrust all the way.
There we go. See you again. Like, just Sabrina being smarter than me. But,